My beloved people, I do not have all of the bulletins in my hand here as I'm talking to you this morning, so I will try to remember all that needs to be said as far as the bulletins are concerned. But the bulletins of the past 1 or 2 or 3 weeks have a lot of important information, and I would like very much for you especially to study what the information is. It has to do, of course, with the season of Advent, which is coming, and I will not see you again until after the season of Advent begins. As usual, the readings are listed this year once again in your bulletin, and we certainly highly recommend that you follow the system of readings during the season of Advent. They are mostly taken from the Missal, and therefore are excellent as they lead up to the coming of the birth of Christ. So therefore, I strongly recommend that even if you live alone, that you try to do these readings. There's also the question there of the souls in purgatory. This morning's bulletin has a little writing concerning the souls in purgatory, which I strongly encourage you to study. And the question there is the heroic act, which is listed in our bulletin. And I have been asked if this act here can be made if the St. Louis de Montfort act has already been made. And we see nothing that would militate against both of these acts, except it's just go right ahead and do it, and do them, and place the matter entirely in the hand of God for Him to distribute the goods that you have given. The main thing is that you donate everything to the purpose of the souls, or for the purpose of the souls in purgatory. That's the main thing. After that, leave it be. So study that concerning the souls in purgatory, and go from there. Again, we pass out the little purple Advent wreath ceremonies, which we heartily encourage, and ask you in your own families, and even again if you live alone, that you follow through with the Advent wreath and its presence before you, that it should tell you something, that it should talk to you, that it should speak to you, and that it brings to your mind something that is religious in your house. Today, so much of what is in people's houses, even amongst the best, is not necessarily intrinsically evil, but it does things do not point to religiosity as once upon a time they did. So anything you can do to prepare yourselves for the Advent season, for the Christmas season, please do so. I encourage again the use of the little monastic home chapel altars that we have talked about previously, and that you put these altars back in condition and use them, and teach your children to use them. The question of Christmas comes up, as does the question of Easter and other celebrations of so on and so on. I think some of us have got, I don't mean necessarily in this location, but wherever and however and whatever, I think some of us have got the idea, and this comes to us probably by way of some of the readings that are coming out from some areas, traditional areas, that have a somewhat high degree of respectability otherwise. And that is that some of the figurines of Christmas are not good. For example, let us just for the moment look at the figurine of Santa Claus. There are those who forbid Santa Claus, who walk away from Santa Claus, and consider Santa Claus to be bad, consumeristic, evil, a lie, to be abandoned, to be shunned. Well, if Santa Claus fell into the brutalist hands of the brutalist people, naturally Santa Claus is what we have just said about him. But if we insist, on forbidding our children, for example, while I'm on this particular example, if we forbid to show our children the good side of, let us say, Santa Claus, and show them and teach them that there's only a bad side to him, the day comes, as certain as the sun rises in the morning, when those children who have never seen the good side of Santa Claus, for an example, those children who have not seen the good side of Santa Claus, when their turn comes to raise children, they will not know anything good, and all they can do is present that which is bad. Poor children. Poor, poor, poor children. And it's all our fault, because we were that narrow-minded, we were that limited in our observation of things, that we have denied beauty to our children. We've only pointed out ugliness, and ugliness took root in their minds. And when they became when they become independent, they will go wild. My beloved people, by the grace of God, I have been coming to our chapels now for 20 years or more. That's a long time. And not many priests get the opportunity of staying with a group of people for as long a time as 20 years. And during that period of 20 years, I've seen a number of us here born, baptized, raised Catholic, married, and gone. That's frightening. Unless and until we ourselves, those older ones of us, use the common intellect that Almighty God gave to us, we're going to face worse times. You know, this morning's gospel is interesting. We might look at it as being the story, principal story in it, as forgiving, which we should do, or must do. But that's not the principal story in today's gospel, and it will be the tendency is to completely overlook it. And the principal story is this: wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou didst entreat me. Shouldst thou not have had pity on thy fellow servant, even as I have had pity? And his master, being angry, handed him over to the torturers. That's the important part right there. The man was not given a second chance. There, it might well be said that for many of us, there is a presumption that so long as we go and say mea culpa, so long as we go and say through my fault, please forgive me, Lord, it's all my fault, as long as we say that, that we are going to continue on and on and on and on ad infinitum to receive the mercy of God. This is a parable that is being spoken of by Jesus Christ himself. This wicked servant was not given the opportunity a second time to say, please forgive me. I promise you, I will go and attend to the matter. The book was closed, and that was the end of that. Now, when are we going to learn that in great measure, this is the way it will be? Purgatory is a dreadful place. It's a hopeful place, of course. But we are told, and you'll pick it up in today's bulletin, we do not know the kind of fire we're speaking of. But this much we do know, and this has been told us time after time, that the fire of hell and the fire of purgatory are one and the same thing. In the one place, we have lost all hope. And the only saving thing in the other place is there is hope. But we have a tendency to live fat and sassy. And we think that we are going to be able to play the usual game with Almighty God that we play with each other. And that we expect Almighty God to say, oh, yes, yes, yes. And we get a good pat on the back and say, I understand, you've been a good little boy, therefore, and a good little girl, therefore, yes, I'll give you all the chances you want. Not so. And if he has given you the chance, then we'd best take advantage of it, because it may not ever happen again. We are not going to play games with God. And the matter is serious. The world, you people in the world, I told you this before, and I repeat it for emphasis. You live in the world day after day after day after day. And you don't notice what's taking place. Because there is a progression there, and the progression is so consistent and so steady that you don't really see it. I speak only for myself. I do not speak for Father Francis, though I think he will agree with me. We stay out of the world, for I do. The only time I come see the lights of the world is once a month when I come down here. Otherwise, I'm locked up in the monastery. Thank God for that. But in the period of 30 days from one visit to the other, it is amazing. It is unbelievably amazing that which has transpired in just a period of 30 days. We can see it because we are removed from it. You may not see it, but the progression is awful. It is gone. It's like a cable that is broken loose. You know what a broken loose cable is. It just simply is out of control. Out of control. How much have we contributed to it? When we speak of Santa Claus again, Christmas is coming. What kind of toys is Santa Claus going to bring to your children in your household this year? What type of toys are they going to have? After all, you're the one that pays the bill. You're the one that goes to the store to buy. If later these toys end up being lethal, who bought the toys? Who permitted the toys? Who allowed the toys in the house to begin with? Who brought that about? My beloved people, it is no longer time for us to waste and fritter away. You must put forth the effort that is required to save our immortal souls. And the question of our immortal souls is today, outside in the world, of absolutely no consequence. I think we are more concerned about the value of the quality of a hot dog than we are about the value of our own immortal souls. Are we sure? This is a question. We, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, in here. Do we honestly and sincerely comprehend the fact that inside of me there is such a thing which is called a soul? Do we really understand that? Or is it just something that we've gone to the dictionary and found a definition for? Do I comprehend that in me there is a principle that is going to leave me and is going to go elsewhere? And it is that principle which I have to be concerned about. Because this thing here, as we all already know, we know precisely what's going to happen to this, don't we? Therefore, is all of my effort, is all of my sacrifice, is all of everything that I do going to be only to end up being a better banquet for the worms that will come to me eventually? Is this what I'm standing in this room before you? Is this what we're here for? Food for worms? Then why the effort? Why the effort that we put forth? And what is the obligation of that effort that we must put forth? What I am doing, and what I have personally, I speak personally in this case, if what I have been enduring, I might say, if what I have been suffering for over 20 years, more than that really, but let's restrict it to 20 years, if what I have been suffering is for no better cause than to make me better food for the worms, then I'm crazy. Does that make sense? There are many things, if that's the case, I used to see some bumper stickers that used to say, I would rather be dancing. We could put some bumper stickers on our car. There are many things, my dear people, that I would rather be doing. And I'm not saying this to be ugly, and you know it. There are 10,000 things that I would rather be doing than standing in this spot, right here, right now, yelling at you. Can you understand that? And I'm sure that there are even more thousands of things that you would rather be doing than to be sitting in your chairs right now in this spot listening to me yell at you. Does that make sense? But why are we doing it? Why are you sitting in your chair right now, and why am I standing in this place right now? Why? What is the cause that is bringing this about? Food for worms? Or something else? The matter is serious, the matter is grim. And the world today and its worldly advocate simply will not pay attention. It's coming at us from every direction. It's in the air we breathe, it's in the water we drink, it's in the food. I'm not a conspiracy-minded person, because I think that's silly. Because there's some people that can't get out of bed in the morning, because if they do, it has something to do with conspiracy. And if one foot touches the floor, something conspiratorial is going to happen. You know? And so we live from one conspiratorial act to the next, and but we never give up. There's still, that's part of the conspiracy that it didn't happen, you know. But we must be people of religion. And we must put aside the things that we have no control over, and we must understand what our purpose in life really is. We must not be discouraged. We must be reasonable, we must be firm, we must be convinced. If I were not convinced that what I'm doing is the right thing to do, I wouldn't be here. I certainly would not be here. But it's coming at us from all directions. What about the music your children listen to? The only thing we hear is the unpleasant beep, 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 beep. We don't like that because it's noise. All we hear, we, older ones, all we hear is the noise element. We are too slow on the uptake to hear the subliminal message that is in that music, the words of that music. The children are so quick that that's the message that is registered. Let me tell you something. I think I'm the oldest member in this community, in this room right now. I think so. Let me tell you something. The bad things that I heard when I was no more than 5 or 6 years of age. Are just as vivid in my mind right now as though they were taking place right now. There is a slight difference, maybe, that over the period of these years, I have dressed them up a little bit more with dirtier clothes. Once something bad enters one's mind psychologically, it will be there till the 10 minutes after we have been declared dead. Good things we forget instantly. Bad things are always there. The subliminal messages that are in the music that our children are playing that we are too slow to catch is being registered, and it will always be there as long as they live. We must pay attention to that. What about the movies that we're looking at, our children are looking at? And all the subliminal, well, I shouldn't even say so, they're outright and openly explicit. It's I am there situation. And the sad part of it all is that in some cases, the children are looking at the movies in their rooms with shut and closed doors because they do not want their parents to know that they're looking at that movie, while their parents are in the next room behind closed doors looking at the same movie. Does that not happen from time to time? So in 30 days, a lot happens, and we can see it because just as, of course, this year is not an example, nothing is an example this year, but in former times it could come here in September or October 1st and the trees would be lush, beautiful, and green. 30 days later, there would be skeletons because all the leaves have fallen. A lot can happen in 30 days. My beloved people, look out for your children while they are small. Because once they begin to get the second crop of feathers, like chickens do, they can't be controlled anymore. And it's over. But if you've done your best, if you've honestly and sincerely done your best, and even at that, it means nothing. It's awful to say, my children are grown folks now. If they, and they have to make a decision, it's an intellectual decision. It cannot but be intellectual. If they have decided to go to hell, am I obligated to go to hell there with them? I don't think so. I don't think so. If they've made that decision, then that's the way it will be. I have to worry about my own soul finally, and that's all that matters to me. So as we prepare ourselves for Advent in the month of November for the poor souls, dedicated to the poor soul, these are the things that we have to carry with us. Wouldn't it be nice if I could come in here and month after month repeat to you how wonderful you are, how wonderful we are, and how great we are, and how delightful we are, and that everything is fine, and we're all going to go to heaven and live happily ever after. oh, what a dream that would kind of a sermon would be. But it doesn't work that way. It's not a matter of the priest coming in here once a month and giving us hellfire and brimstone. You know what we think about that. But the truth of the matter is, today's gospel does not give the man his second chance. Does not give the man the opportunity to start out with his long list of excuses, his long list of reasons, his long list of, please listen, I've got this to say. Nothing was said. To the torturers, you go. On the spot. I don't want that to happen to any of us. Least of all to myself. So as we prepare ourselves for these great days ahead of us, let us look at them intelligently. Let us look at them. We're going to be hearing more and more about Nazareth as time goes on. How much like Nazareth is our own household? Our blessed Lord, when he came back from the dead, was untouchable, wasn't he? And we know that in actual fact, because when Mary Magdalene went up to touch him, what did he say? Stop. Do not touch me. Our blessed mother, as queen of angels and of men, as mystical rose, as star of the sea, as Our Lady of Fatima, or Our Lady of Lourdes, or Our Lady of Guadalupe, or Our Lady of any place, in that position, she's not our role model at all. She's untouchable, isn't she? Our Lady of Nazareth was a common housewife, wasn't she? And a good one, wasn't she? That's where we've got to go to find out. And the boy Jesus, and the young man Jesus, was just a common young man growing up in a perfect way that Almighty God had determined for him. To say nothing of St. Joseph. We must not leave St. Joseph out. But there's where we get our example from Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Not from these others. We have turned the focus in the wrong direction. I cannot imitate Our Lady of Lourdes. I cannot imitate Our Lady, Star of the Sea, or Queen of Angels and of Men. But I can imitate her relations with her husband and her child. And I can imitate the relations of her child with them. And when he was asked to go fetch, a container of water at the well, he could have changed, he could have filled that tub with water just as he changed water into wine later. But the question is, did he? And when he went to the well, did he stand out like a sore thumb amongst his playmates? They could not see a thing different about this man. That's where we've got to go to learn, at Nazareth, at the Nazareth house. And we must pray to Our Lady of Nazareth. Absolutely. Under that title, I'm going to go out on a limb. I think that we should pray to Our Lady of Nazareth under that title before all of her other titles. And that's on tape. Before all of her other titles. As far as we're concerned today especially, that's the one that's important, because in her other titles, Our Blessed Mother tells us what we must do. At Nazareth, she shows us how to do it. The same thing with our Lord. Our Lord later told us what to do. At Nazareth, he showed us how to do it. So God bless you and keep you. Let us work this out together in seriousness and responsibility. God bless you.